dream, your impossible dream. Dream your impossible dream. Dream your impossible dream. I should learn the words. So dream, dream, dream. Pretend that the most outrageous possibilities are possible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher, telling you to dream. Now, we are still human. We're still very much human. And we are still aware of our dreams. We're still aware of our imaginings. We're still aware of our phantasms, the ideas that are fantasy that come up into our mind that make us wonder about things. We're still aware of those things, and that's fine. That's fine. We should dream, dream, dream. Pretend that the most outrageous possibilities are possible. Now, the difficulty we all have in pretending that the most outrageous possibilities are possible is that we are so mundane, we don't think of outrageous possibilities. If I were to say to Sylvia, we'll pick on her at the moment. If I were to say, Sylvia, what would you do if you were madly in love with Bill Gates and were married to Bill Gates, and you were his wife, and you were the mother of his children? What would you do, Sylvia? What would you do? Now, just be outrageous. What would you do? Now, be careful when you answer this, because it's going to indicate just where your consciousness is. Now, what would you do?
My I would enjoy being married to Bill Gates.
Very good. But what? That's not outrageous.
No.
Think of the most outrageous possibility that you would do that no other human being could do.
Well, I would.
And you're free to do it.
Yeah, because I'm in charge of giving some money away, so I would give, I think, $3 billion to the University of Healing.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, that's a good start.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, if you were that person, and you were happy, and you had all of that asset, so to speak, available to you, I'd want you to think beyond the money. I want you to think beyond being married. I want you to think beyond the children you have. I want you to think beyond that to the most fantastic thing you could think of. Now, could you say, I am Mrs. Gates, and I am Mrs. Half of it, you know, and I am choosing to relive my past. I'm choosing to go over my entire past, my childhood especially, and rewrite it right now. And I am going to say that Richard Bach says I can do it, you know, and so I'm going to rewrite my past. Now, in your fantastic choice of rewriting your past, this is an impossible probability, you know. It's what do we say here? Most outrageous possibilities are possible. Now, what would you do? What would you do in rewriting your past? Now, the big thing is for you to be very careful on what I'm going to say next. Are you going to rewrite your past with knowledge of your past? Or are you going to rewrite your past with knowledge of how you want it to be?
How I want it to be.
And do you have the possibility of making it so?
Yes.
Do you have the possibility of, so to speak, buying out all of the old consciousness and throwing it away and just have it be the new consciousness? Do you have that possibility?
Oh, yes.
And do you have that possibility because you're Mrs. Gates?
No.
How do you have that possibility?
just by being me.
By being you. I mean, your little infinitesimal nothingness, you?
Yeah, the infinite big allness. No.
Don't contradict it. Just say, yes, I can. And you don't have to defend who you are. Because if you can marry Bill Gates, you're doing pretty good. Okay, even with all his money. So now, do you have the possibility of doing that right now? Why don't you do it?
It's already done.
And what is it that's already done? Naturally, you're not going to tell me right now. But why is it that it's already done? If it's already done, why would I bring it up?
Because it's a fun topic.
No. If it's already done, this is what I want you to the point that I'm making here. If it's already done, you do not remember that it wasn't done. You see, that's the point I want to make here. You do not remember that it wasn't done. You only remember that it is done. Now, when do we get started remembering that it is done and that it's not something that's going to be done? It's right now. So how do we remember that it's done? Or better yet, how do we not remember that it's done? How do we just live in the awareness of what it is that we desire to be? Now, that doesn't sound too difficult, but yet it's quite difficult from the point of view. No matter how you look at yourself, you remember your past. Because your mind is built of your ideas of the past, your attitudes are built of the ideas of the past, you're the genes and chromosomes and all that stuff of your personal family, and all of these things. Now, how is that going to be? I talked to a person just yesterday or the day before, and, Brian. I was talking to Brian, and I was telling him about Dorothea, 87, my brother, 82, my brother-in-law, 83 or 4, and stuff like that. And I'm talking about these people living long. He says, well, I won't live long. My family hasn't lived long. Oh. Now, just listen and don't judge. Don't judge.
Yes.
That's naughty, to judge. Okay, just listen. This is what he said. And he says, I won't have the opportunity to live long because it's not in our genes and chromosomes. And I said, Brian, right now, and I put my hand on his head, I said, I endow you with eternal life. You can live forever. You can have a life as long or as short as you want. You can have as many dimensions as you want. You can do anything you want. He said, hey, that feels good. And I said, you bet it feels good. Now, if you go around saying to people that your family history is, a short-lived people, then you're empowering that to be. So you go around saying, I live forever. He said, but it's, people do die, And I said, that's right, but they appear to die. They don't really die. They live. Does your spirit die? Well, it takes a different body. Yeah, that's right. It takes a different body. It takes a different form. Death to this vehicle that we had. But are you upset when you put aside your 1929 Model A Ford in preference to a beautiful 2003 Ford Ford? No, not at all. And you put aside your other truck, which was a perfectly good green truck, and you bought the beautiful white one. Yeah. You see, and you thought nothing of it. But the spirit in that truck is you. And you left that old truck so somebody else could put their spirit in there and keep it running. And it would probably keep running from now forever, And this new one would probably keep running now forever, as long as you keep your spirit in it. But when you move your spirit to some other experience, well, that's great too, but I didn't go into all this detail. But I gave him the general point of view. And can you see? You have the possibility of thinking this improbable, impossible dream for yourself and have it be realized. have it be brought forth. But you have it be brought forth not by dwelling on what was, but by dwelling on what is. And what is not necessarily always apparent. You don't always see what is. Ingeborg, what are you going to be doing next Saturday? Ingeborg, the answer is, I don't know. I could have many possibilities, but I don't know. Well, Ingeborg, next Saturday, if I told you, you're going to be conducting your first wedding. You say, hey, that's interesting. Would you believe it?
When you say it, yes.
When I say it.
Because you believe.
But I want you to say it because you believe it.
Yes.
Now, you may or may not do this, but this is a discussion point. Now, could you conceive of yourself conducting a wedding?
Yes.
Would you enjoy doing one?
Yes.
Do you have anybody in mind that you'd like to marry? No.
No.
You're open, right?
Yeah.
So a couple comes up here and they say, do you do weddings, you know? And Sylvia happened to be in town and you say, yes, we do weddings here. And they say, well, who does them? Well, we're all able to do it. Is there anyone that you prefer? Sylvia has been doing a lot of them and I'm here and Ellen is here and Herb is here and Button and the Love are here. We're all ordained to do weddings if you like, you know. And I mean, dogs can do a wedding. They can. They're ordained. They can. They are divine beings. Well, enough. But what would you like? Well, I'd like you, you know. And so then they choose you. And they say, we'd like a short wedding, and we'd like to have be done as quickly as possible. And you say, wonderful. Do you have your document with you? Yep. Then we'll sign that document right now. Okay, now the two of you stand together. John, do you accept Mary as your lawfully wedded wife? Mary, do you accept John as your lawfully wedded wife? I do, I do. I pronounce you man and wife. Kiss. You know? Oi! That was great. I'm going to tell all my friends. That's the shortest wedding I had ever experienced. But that's all it takes, is two consenting people. And they do it in front of a church minister if they choose to have it that way. Or the justice of peace says the same thing. He says, well, you know what you're getting yourself into here? You want to get married? Yep. Do you accept her? Do you accept him? Yep. Okay, sign right here. Give me your two bucks it used to be. Now I'm sure it's quite a bit more. But you see, that seems an improbable situation because it has not happened to you yet. But why not? Why not? And why not have three weddings? One for you, one for Ellen, and one for me. And then Sylvia comes home just then, and she brings this couple in from the gate and said, hey, they want to get married. Okay, then we got four weddings. So we got four ministers conducting four weddings. And then they brought their dogs and cats along, and they want to get hitched. And so Button and Love did their things for them. Now, you say, Herb, that is silly. No, it isn't. Dream your impossible dream. See, I must get the words for that and have it handy. But that's what it is. Dream your impossible dream. And is there any reason why Sylvia cannot be like that, a totally different person, when she claims for herself a totally different past? Now, is there anything wrong with Sylvia the way she is? No. Is there anything that Sylvia would like to improve on? Maybe. What kind of person would Sylvia be if she came from a ragamuffin household where everybody was mean and hateful and tough and rotten and disgusting? What kind of person would she be? Tell me quickly.
The contrary.
She would be a beautiful person. She would be the contrary. She would not be touched by her environment. She'd not be touched by her environment. Do you understand? We do not have to be touched by our environment. We do not have to be touched by the experiences that we've had. We are the ones who give them power. We are the ones who let them touch us. Ellen was just going over a few things in her life, and she was telling me about them. And I said, Ellen, who's the master? You. Ellen, what did I say to you?
I'm number four. One.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. I had hoped that that would take root. Ellen was saying, they, them, us, we, you know, are, Alan, you're number one. You're the creator of your world. You're the only creator of your world. Now, Ellen, believe it or not, you created me. And you created Ingeborg, and you created Sylvia. Mm-hmm. Now, why in the living daylights would you create me in your world when I give you such a hard time? You know? Why do you create Sylvia in your world when all she does is just smile at you and say, oh, Ellen, you're so wonderful, you know? Or Ingeborg being in your world and Ingeborg says, oh, Ellen, you're so wonderful. Why do you create people like that?
Huh? Because I'm a good creator.
No, because they are a reflection of you. They're a reflection of what you believe about yourself. So they love everybody in their world because you love everyone in your world, and you create them as your reflection. Understand?
Yeah.
Clear?
Yeah.
Now, do you change them in any way?
No.
Do you manipulate them? Do you make them behave in some way because it pleases you?
No.
You are perfect, so you create everyone in your world perfect. And if anyone doesn't want to be perfect in your world, you can't see that. Mm-mm. You don't even know that. You're not even aware that anybody in your world is not perfect. You see, this is the impossible. These are the impossible things. And they're the things that are everyday fare for an absolute consciousness person. A person who's reaching up into that understanding of their divinity. Reaching up, if you will, call it that, you know, reaching down, reaching over, reaching in to their divinity. What happens when you reach for your divinity? You're divine.
Yeah.
You see everything beautiful. You see everything wonderful. Now, Ingeborg, from now on, you don't remember anything about your past. You don't remember your mother was a postmistress, and you don't remember this, that, and the other. You don't remember that. All you do, Ingeborg, is what?
Living in the now.
Living in the now. Exactly. It took you 2 seconds to say that now. But living in the now. That's all you do. Because if you're going to live in the past, if you're going to go back in Memoryville of you sitting up on the post office counter in your mother's post office and doing different things, you're that little girl again. You're not the fantastic lady that sits here today. You're that little girl again. And you're no better than that little girl. Well, can't we have any memories? No. You live in the present. A master does not remember the past. A master has nothing to do with the past. A master is not the slightest bit interested in the past. I said to Sylvia, you are Bill Gates' wife. What would you do now? And what did she say? She said, well, I would get the best doctors for my father so that he would be healed of this and that. And I would go and do this for my mother. You know, she was, you know, doing this and that and the other thing. And I would go and take care of my brother, and I'd go and take care of this, and I'd go and take care of that. You see, all of the little things that made you feel a little unhappy as they were happening, you'd go back and make amends. No, you can't. You can't go back and make amends. You can only make it perfect now. And do you want to create a new past? You create a new past by living perfectly in the present. Living perfectly in the present. Because the present is stupid. It's dumb. It's no good if it is filled with the past. But it's wonderful if it's filled with the present. Now, Ellen, I want you to put a picture of your grandson in the gist. So Ellen goes back and gets the handsomest picture of her grandson when he was 5 years old, because now he's 8 years old, and he's not as pretty as he was when he was 5 years old, a cute little innocent kid. Now he is an 8-year-old boy getting ready to, you know, be ready for his teenage years and stuff, and he's, you know, getting real, real smarty, you know, and... Is that what you want?
Mm-mm.
Yes. You want what is in the present tense. But now, how do you see your grandson?
Beautiful, perfect.
I see my grandson as the ideal child.
Yeah.
as the ideal boy. I don't see him as a little getting ready for his teenage years and this and that and the other thing. I see him as a revealed person.
Yeah.
Wonderful, beautiful. Why?
Because I am.
Because I am. That's all that matters. No. Should we put a picture of your sister in the gist from when she was a little girl? Wouldn't mean a thing, would it?
No.
Should we put a sister of your picture in the gist when she was a little girl? No. Wouldn't mean a thing, would it? And you wouldn't care, would you, Ingeborg? No. Okay. We live in the now, but each of us live in our now. And our now is different from anybody else's now. And as we live in that now, then we start doing the impossible things. Now, why do I say they're impossible? Because we had never given our attention to them before, because we were spending so much time in the past, so much time saying it can't be done because it wasn't done. It won't work because it didn't work. You know what I mean? Ingeborg, you don't think you can find that booklet, do you? Now, what is she going to do? I don't think I can. I don't know where. Ingeborg, remember that booklet?
Yes.
Then bring it to me, will you please? And so what does Ingeborg say? Sure. And bah, her mind instantly dives right into its netherland, so to speak, and she knows exactly where that book is. And she hasn't thought about that book for a long time. But now she remembers. Now she doesn't remember. She knows. She knows. See, every one of us have this knowingness about us. When we turn our attention to the idea that you don't think you could find time to talk to me, do you?
Yeah, sure.
You don't think that you could give me any money, do you? You don't think you could give me money, Mr. Gates, you know, to sort of help the organization here?
No. Ask Mrs. Gates.
Ask Mrs. Gates, my goodness sakes. Yes, Sylvia, go for it. But you see, this is what it's all about. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Accentuate the positive and don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between. So, that's a good way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Think about that. Dream, dream, dream. Pretend the most outrageous possibilities are possible. And, of course, the minute you pretend the most outrageous possibilities are possible,
yeah,
you're already thinking about them and you're empowering them to be.
Yeah.
So enjoy, 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 and realize that you are more of a master than you realize. I love you. I didn't get that out.